Shalom. We're in the middle of Piska, Zayin, on the page 62 of Rav Kook's commentary, Ein Hayah, on Masechet Shabbat. In the second chapter, the middle of Siv Zayin, where we've seen Rav Kook's philosophic explanation of the machloket, the difference of opinion between Beit Hillel and Beit Shammai, of how to light the Chanukah candles. We saw the Gemara says that Beit Shammai counts 8 on the first night, 7, 6, and as follows. And there are two opinions. One is that it's according to Parei HaChag, just like on Sukkot, the 70 bulls which we give, you start with 13 on the first day, then 12, and then 11. We discussed that in the Book of Maccabees, that brings a parallel between Davka, Chanukah, and Sukkot. That year, the Maccabees, the Jews, were not able to celebrate Sukkot, and Chanukah was in place of Sukkot. That's why they took the Lulav and Etrog. Chazal also talk about the parallel of the three rabbinical holidays, corresponding to the three holidays Midoraita, where we spoke about this?
You mentioned it.
Yeah, okay. So, again, mentioned it just briefly. That Shavuot corresponds to Purim, Hador Kiblu, Me'a Chashverosh, Mata acceptance of the Torah, and Chanukah parallels to Sukkot, as we're saying, and Pesach parallels the final Ge'ula, which turned out to be Yom HaTzma'ut. And that's one explanation. And the opposite, Beit Hillel, says that we count 1, 2, 3, 4, according to the idea of Kiddusha, Malin Bakodesh Vein Moridin, that the way of the world is always to add Kiddusha, to add holiness, and not to go down. The second opinion was that Beit Shammai counts according to the days left, right? On the seventh day, you only have two candles left, and so he counts the days remaining, and in other words, looking towards the future. And Beit Hillel looks more towards the past, counting the days that we've already celebrated. And what we saw last time, just a quick review, is that Rav Kook explains that Beit Shammai talks about the Shivim Parei HaChag, the 70 bulls of Sukkot, that they go down. And this symbolizes, according to Chazal, to the rabbis, the 70 nations of the world. That's the idea, you know, there are a lot of Christians and evangelists and a lot of people come to celebrate the holiday of Pentecost, right? As the Navi Zechariah says, that's the holiday that's going to test the Goyim, the Gentiles, whether they're in or out in Yemot HaMashiach. That's a big international, universal holiday. And that's the number 70, where Chazal tells that the 70 Parei HaChag, that is in honor of the Gentiles. So Rav Kook connects that with the number 70 of the Gentiles. Just, it should be clear, these are the number of the families that are mentioned that come out of Noach, at the end of Parashat Noach. Yeah.
So what is the connection to Pentecost?
The holiday of Sukkot.
Pentecost is Shavuot.
Oh, Tadar Rabba. Thank you. I was trying to remember my Birnbaum translation from my childhood. Tabernacles, that's what I was looking at. Sorry for the folks at home. I haven't spoken English for a long time. Thanks for the correction.
It's all Greek, actually.
Okay, tabernacles. Okay. I imagine most of the listeners probably know what Sukkot are anyway, but just for the clarification's sake. Okay, so we're talking about the universal holiday of the Tabernacles, and Rav Kook explains Beit Shammai that sees the goal of the world universalism, and that the role of Am Yisrael is a means. The nation of Israel is a means to bring monotheism and morality to the world. Beit Hillel, on the other hand, this is where we got up to. Beit Hillel Omrim, you'll see we're on page 62, the right-hand column, second paragraph, about 12 lines down. See in the dark letters, Beit Hillel Omrim, She'omnam Yesh Te'uda Kazot LeYisrael. Just keep in the back of your mind, as opposed to Beit Shammai, who gets the idea of counting down 8-7 from the Pareachag, which is about the Gentiles, about the universalism, Beit Hillel says the opposite side of the coin is that it's Ma'alin Bakodesh Vein Moridin. Right? That the way of holiness is to continue to grow and grow. Beit Hillel Omrim She'omnam Yesh Te'uda Kazot LeYisrael. Beit Hillel agrees, cannot deny, that undoubtedly one of the goals of Judaism and the Torah is to bring the message of God and the morality of God to all the nations of the world. Aval, hachayim hayoter gvuhim, she'omek kavanat haTorah, but the highest level of life, which is the deepest message of the Torah, Bachanatat Yisrael Ma'alatan, is to prepare the nation of Israel for their destiny. Einarach bishvil liyot kli shimush le'olam kulo. The role of the nation of Israel, by the way, this is a very, very important topic today. I just today I got the proofs of an article which I'm publishing on the relationship of globalism and Jewish nationalism, right? Because Rav Kook writes so much about the two, and we're zochet to be on the verge of, on the one hand, globalization is becoming more and more. That's Beit Shammai's stress. And the question is, if so, what is the role of Jewish nationalism in a global world where everyone's folding up the flags? So here Rav Kook is, this is in all the writings of Rav Kook, here and in two places in Midbar Shor, is where Rav Kook says his Ashkafa in the clearest terms. Right, this is a very important paragraph.
It was a real battle in his times as well, because of Marxism, which was a very globalist, yeah, internationalist.
Right, I think you're right. At the time, it was more theoretical, and especially the Jews got really, really involved in it. Today, it's really happening, right, with the internet and etc. Beit Hillel says the role of the Jewish people is not just as a means to bring monotheism morality to the Gentiles, but Am Yisrael is an end unto itself. Vilamrot shelefi hamara chitzoni hadorot holchim vidalim. And even though, at first glance, and also Chazal tell us, there is a klal of hitkatnut hadorot, right? That the generations, it's a famous Gemara, generations as we go and get further and further from Sinai, the generations are going down. Now, right away, those of you who have been learning Rav Kook with us for a couple of years, have to ask yourself, what is Rav Kook going to have to explain in his philosophy? The evolution, right? Which is one of the basics of Rav Kook's ideology. And that's exactly what he's going to do. Vilamrot shelefi hamar'e hachitzoni adorot olchim vedalim. Externally, that's how he explains Chazal, externally the generations are clearly going down and down. We don't have a Moshe Rabbeinu, we don't have prophecy, we don't have a Rambam, we don't have a Chavetz Chaim, and obviously that's a Yirida. Ve'en lecha yom she'en klilato meruba michavero. A Gemara Mesechet Sota Daf Mem Tet. That every day the curse is greater than the previous day. Aval hazgula hapnimit shebichlal Yisrael he'ena nimdedet lefi erech shel kol dor vador befratiyut. But we don't measure the sgula, the hidden essence, the internal essence of the nation of Israel is not measured by the actions of an individual generation. Ki imi sokeret beskira achat kol hadorot mirosh va'ad sof. The eternal people of Israel, as an eternal people, has a hitzdabrut, a cumulative cheshbon. we are standing on the shoulders of giants. And Avram Avinu was great. Yitzchak added on to Avram's greatness another level. There's Chesed, afterwards Gvura. Afterwards Yaakov is Tiferet. Now Chazal say that Yaakov is the greatest of the Avot. Hi, but Hitkatnu Adorot, and we just say, Chazal say the generation is going down? Rav Kook is explaining, not just from Matan Torah, he says even from Matan Torah, there is the accumulative aspect. That every generation Jews do mitzvot is not just points. That we've got 1 million points in the next generation, 2 million and three. But we're talking about zchuyot, a shichlul, a perfection of the world, which is little by little evolving. He continues to clarify. V'chol dor v'dor machzik bevrit Hashem. Every generation that observes the covenant of God, uviyoter tachat sevel ol galut v'tzara rabah. Here Rav Kook is relating to the Mamar Chazal that even though every generation is more cursed, in other words, we're suffering more than the previous generation, that brings us zchuyot that we didn't have in previous generations. I'll add parenthetically that without a doubt, if Rav Kook would have seen the Holocaust, he would have mentioned it by name. Right? That the zchuyot, the merits that we got in those Jews who didn't leave Judaism and who declared and didn't hide their Judaism and died with their Judaism proudly, that is unbelievable zchut. Hu mosif yitaron al zgula klalit shel metziut uma nifla'a kazot. This is a constant addition, constant accumulation to the realization of the potential of this great nation. That every mitzvah that an individual Jew does realizes his potential. The same thing with his generation. The same thing in this direction, generation after generation. She'en dugmata tachat kol ha-shamayim. There is nothing like the eternal accumulative zchuyot of the nation of Israel in the world. Because there's nothing else eternal. The Torah is eternal. The Zohar, famous Zohar, Yisrael, for right of Ekud Shabrichu Chadehu. Right? The only things which are eternal are God and the Torah and the people of Israel. Now, Rav Kook, as we've seen many times, at certain themes, it's important to see in other places and in his writings where he elaborates. Especially remember, Ein Hayah is relatively early. He wrote it in Boisk, in Chutz Laaretz, at a relatively young age. So in his later books, the White Chas, these are, almost all of them are later, more developed, more mature, Migubash. How do you say Migubash? Formulated. Yeah. Ideas.
For the wise
ones? Right, the Sfarim which Rav Tzvi Yehuda Kook put out, which are mainly from, and the Nazir, which are mainly from the Pinkasim, from Rav Kook's notebooks. Anyway, in Mamar Ador, which is also relatively early, but here he talks a little more in depth about the idea of Hitkatnu Ador. This is Nikvei Atzon, page 111, Kuf Yud Aleph. And Rav Kook is talking about, if you remember, we learned this 3 years ago, that our generation is very unique. And he's talking after the Renaissance, the Enlightenment, where the entire world is learning to read and write and asking questions and going to get secular knowledge, etc., etc. People are becoming more and more idealistic and intellectual and thinking. Ve'achshav aklal nitromem al cheshbonam shel ha'ishim ha'pratiim. This is an important line. That the klal, if you look at the masses today, the average is much higher than it was 1,000 years ago and 2,000. And there's mamash no comparison. That the average Jew today, Tanakh, for sure he knows better than his great-great-grandfather, the percentage of those learning Gemara today is higher than ever before. People have this idyllic picture in Europe as if everybody knew Shas cold. There were a lot of Talmidei Chachamim, right? And but yeah, the V'lashon Yeshiva was the first real yeshiva as we know it, a mass yeshiva with 400 people and the top rabbeim. They didn't even have a full Shas in most yeshivot. Today, thank God, and that's part of what Rav Kook is referring to, the masses have access to Torah, the Hesder program. Right? Not everyone is cut out to learn 10 years in yeshiva. The Mechinot Kedam Tzvaiot, for guys who are only cut out to learn 1 year in yeshiva. And maybe they're not so cut out for Gemara, so they learn Tanakh and Musar and philosophy and women. Midrashot, Art Scroll, right, Schottenstein, Dafyomi. There is no comparison between the masses today in terms of knowledge and identification. As Rav Kook goes on to say in Ma'amar Ador, he says that there are plenty who are leaving Torah, but those who are staying, and how much more so those who are returning as Balei Tshuva to Torah, they're on a much higher level because they're doing Torah, they're observing the mitzvot, not out of peer pressure, not just because they're Jewish and everyone Jewish puts on tefillin, but out of identification, out of belief. They ask questions, they could leave, and they chose to observe the mitzvot. And this is, as far as the masses are going, the level is much higher. But the individual gedolim, that's going down. Shezo bichlau malach ha-tolada ha-enoshit. The way of mankind is evolution. As we learned in Orot HaTshuva, throughout the writings of Rav Kook, the up and down, aliyot v'yiridot, which includes yirida letzorech aliyah, but the general direction is always to learn from our mistakes, also the individual, and also the masses. Now, Rav Kook goes on to say, b'dorot achronim hitchilu anakim lihitma'it, ve'aklal holechu mit'aleh. In other words, we're meeting in the middle. If you just look at the chief rabbinate, for example, you know, let's not give names, the Rambam. We don't have a Rambam today, and not anything close to it. But if the Rambam, or even the Chafetz Chaim, were alive today, we wouldn't know what to do with him, and he wouldn't know what to do with us. Whereas the worlds would be so far apart, we need Rabbanim, who may be more down to earth, maybe less knowledgeable, further from Sinai, but they speak the language of the masses. And the Torah in our generation is supposed to become massive. How does the Navi say? Umala'a kol ha'aretz de'at Hashem kimayim liyam mechasim. Part of the geula is that everyone is going to know God. Now, if everyone is to know God, we can't have rabbis up here and the masses who, yes, they are improving, but they're still a far cry. We need rabbanim who can speak to them on their level. I remember for 20 years, I headed midrashot for women, for 18, 19, 20-year-olds. And when I chose staff, I always looked, not necessarily for the greatest, most knowledgeable rabbanim, but for those who could speak to the people and get the message over. And that's what Rav Kook is saying. So on the one hand, yes, there is the idea of the generations going down. On the other hand, there is the idea of the generations improving. Yeah.
So going to this idea that, you know, if we had a Rambam today, we wouldn't know what to do with him.
Yeah.
Now, presumably then, according to this idea of the Gdolim getting smaller while the nation gets greater.
Yeah.
So presumably, 600 years ago, or 700 years ago, when the Rambam lived, so he was up here, and the nation was just completely in the dust. I mean,
right.
What did they know what to do with him?
Right.
I mean, if they were so much lower than we are now, and he was so much greater than the Gdolim today, what was there to do with them then?
You're right. The world, you have to remember, when the world, before there was mass communication and mass transportation, there were a lot of different planets in this world, which had almost no connection. Now, the Yemenite Jews, for example, yes, they did write and ask the Rambam halacha questions, and he answered them in a relatively simple language, as was Matim. But there weren't too many students of the Rambam. By the way, if you look on Rav Rafael Halperin in the Atlas Eitz Chaim, the Rambam didn't have any great students. His only student was his son. And also his son isn't anywhere close to the Rambam. And that's, for example, as opposed to Rashi, who did have a lot of great students. The Maharam Rundberg did have a lot of great students. But what does it mean, a lot? 6, 7. Right, that's considered a lot of great students. If you look at Rav Rafael Halperin's Atlas Eitz Chaim in the time of the Rishonim. So, yeah, there were greater individuals then, but the masses were a lot less knowledgeable. And you see this also in the halachic responsa. You see things that people just didn't know. And it's not their fault. They didn't have elementary school.
Most of them didn't have the luxury of being able to sit and study.
Right. And I don't know what you're talking about, Yeshiva Gvoha. I'm even talking about elementary school, cheder, you know. Right? A kid went out to work at the age of 6 or 7. Right. And the Jews always were better off than the Goyim. At least the Jewish boys and very often the girls knew how to read and write. Compared to everyone else, we were light years ahead. But as the world has also developed, Am Yisrael has developed even more. Thank God. And the Torah world is really light years ahead of anywhere else in history. When you hear stories of how, not just that they didn't have electricity, they didn't have a shas. One set of shas. In entire cities didn't have, everyone put together didn't have one set of shas. I myself have 1, 2, 3 sets of shas. In one house we have 3 sets of shas. Aside from my children, who also have another couple.
No, but they always say of the Gedolim at the time that they knew Shas. They always say he wrote this, you know, I saw this somewhere, and he ends up writing the exact quote.
Right. But again, those were the few Gedolim.
Uh-huh. That's why it was such tragedy when they got the Shas in Paris.
Right. There's a Rav Kook in one of his igrot to Rav Duber Milstein. By the way, somebody, Rav Kinarti, Amichai Kinarti from Itamar, I helped him put out a chuveret of letters of Rav Kook to this Rav Duver Milstein. Very interesting collection of letters. For those interested in, especially those who have older children, Rav Milstein's sons became Bundistim, socialists, and they left Torah. And Rav Kook writes him a lot of letters of how to deal with children who take off their kippah. And unfortunately, you know, in the modern world, these are things which are unfortunately not uncommon. And that's a very, very important compilation. Anyway, one of the points that he mentions here, this is in Igrota Re'ia, Chelik Aleph, Volume 1, page 369, Shin Samech Tet. Klal Gadolhu. This is written in Tafresh Ayin. It's 1910. So this is a little later than the first two sources that we've seen. Klal gadol hu, she'af pi she'olam yored tamid b'yirida achar yirida, again, v'itkatnut hadorot, as we distant from Sinai, mikom makom ein ze ki'im mitzad hachitzoniyut shelo. There's a term that he uses by us also. Externally, that's true. Dahainu she'ma'asin v'amidot noflim, ve'inam be'erech shel dorot arishonim, mitzad pratiyut ha'neshamot. The individual neshamot are not what they used to be. Avo mitzad ha'pnimiyut, in terms of the internal essence, dahainu koach ha'klal, she'klalut kedushat ha'oma Knesset Yisrael, hari every Jew who's born today has a Jewish neshama of Knesset Yisrael, which is an accumulative neshama of 3,300 years. And that's great. Kol dor vador mosif al dorot harishonim. Mipnei shekedusha mitzarefet. It accumulates. And anyway, there are some other places, but if you're interested in Orot HaKodesh, Chilek Gimel, page Resh Yud Zayin, Rav Kook also, but it's more or less the same idea.
Some of the parts is constantly increasing. constantly rising in level, despite the fact that those individual parts themselves are what's the word? Decreasing, I suppose.
Yeah, and what Rav Kook in Ma'amar Ador, the context, is that today we have people who show unbelievable idealism and Mesirut Nefesh for their ideals. Hopefully it'll be for the ideals of Torah, but if it's not for the ideals of Torah, they're very idealistic in whatever field they are. And these are the neshamot of Olam HaTohu that the Zohar talks about, the great neshamot that are coming out, that are being realized, that are coming out into the world as we approach the Geula. Okay, so what Rav Kook basically has done here is, and this again, what's the context? Beit Hillel says, Ma'alin Bakodesh Ve'in Moridin. The way of the world is always to add Kedusha. We don't see that the Goyim are we'll talk about the Goyim soon, we'll talk about that soon, but he says that's referring to the Zgula Yisraelit, where again, Beit Shammai is talking about the universal aspect, goal of Judaism. Beit Hillel differs, and he says that the nation of Israel is the goal. Okay, and therefore, accordingly, he talks about Ma'alin Bakodesh, counting up. Ubashera yesodu sheafilu aribuya atzum shel kol ha'amim ra'ui sheye be'erech emtza'i lo ta'zgula. And Beit Hillel says that all the nations of the world are a means to help the greatest, godliest nation, which is the end. And you'll find psukim in the Navi, which talk about how in Yemot HaMashiach, the Gentiles will come, and they'll come and volunteer, and they'll want to help the Jewish people. A student once asked me, why are there goyim in the world? To Beit Hillel, doesn't agree with the question, and he'll answer it, but at least you could understand the question. According to Beit Shammai, it's not, what do you mean? The goyim, the Gentile, mankind, that's the purpose. And it's a legitimate machloket, because both are true, both are important. Universalism is important, and the nation of Israel is important. Shetitater bam tziyud b'acharit hayamim, that the Jewish nation will be the pinnacle, the crown of mankind in the ideal world of Yemot HaMashiach. B'matzei am shalem, when the world will see that an entire nation, Muchan l'chaye kodesh al atzad ayoter ram v'nizgav, an entire nation of idealistic and godly and moral, tzarich l'kasher erech zeh b'ner Chanukah. This idea, the idea of the light, if you remember in the previous paragraphs, that the light of Chanukah symbolizes the light of the Torah, so this has to be expressed. The light of Israel has to be expressed in the lights of Chanukah. Lorot shegam ha-yesod ha-kamuti, she'omnam tzad tzadim hagunim al ha-tchalat darko al yedei itgabrut shel ha-cheshmonaim al yivanim. Rav Kook says that even though in the war between the Maccabees and the Greeks, that's what we're talking about, Chanukah, did have an effect on the Gentiles, on the kamut, on the quantity. Basically, that's what Rav Kook is saying. Beit Shammai, when he talks about the Goyim, the 70 nations, he starts with the quantity, 8. Beit Hillel is talking about the nation of Israel. That's talking about the quality, where we don't, he says, even though, yes, Chanukah and the Maccabees and the light of Torah of Chanukah did bring light to the quantity of Gentiles, who nitfal yesoda ichuti, that is not the main point. In Judaism, we usually go by quality and not quantity. The Jewish nation of the world, lo mirubchem miumot ha'olam, you're not the greatest, you're not the most in number. We go by quality. Jews aren't the biggest, we're not the strongest, we're not the tallest, but you go by quality. Umachshavatan shel Yisrael kadma lakol. Here, Rav Kook is quoting Chazal in the Midrash Rabbah, which say that the thought of creating Israel came before God created the world. In other words, that's the goal. The goal of the world is the nation of Israel. Al Ken, Yom Rishon Madlik Echad. On the first day, we light one candle. We're talking about quality. It starts with the nation of Israel, and little by little, yes, we will influence the other nations of the world. Mikan ve'elech mosif ve'olech, it goes greater and greater. Again, that's the neshama, the hitstabru, the accumulative, that every generation, this idea of an eternal nation, which every generation accumulates more and more. That's the idea of counting Neirot Chanukah, 1, 2, 3, 4, and growing. Ulefi gadlo ve'itzumo, ken yosif lefaleg mimenu netivim al kol am va'am. The more the light of Chanukah grows, the light of Israel, the light of Torah grows, it will influence the nations of the world more and more. Lefi erko gamken, af al pi shekol shetair ha'emet biyoter teilecha chaluka v'titma'et. Even though the more light of Torah in Israel and godliness and altruism and unity there is in the world, the more the differences between the nations, the nationalism, the patriotism of each and every individual nation is going to go down. Because they're going to see that nationalism usually does more harm than it does good. Except for the nationalism of Israel, which is a nationalism based on universalism. Okay? Mikol makom yisharu hevdelim tivim. Nevertheless, even as the goyim become globalized, will become influenced, they'll cooperate economically and peacefully, and the United Nations and the Euro, and little by little, the world will learn that cooperation and unity, i.e., godliness, is win-win. Everyone gains from it. Shall PM gam ken yichalek or Yisrael orot pratim bidgaber pulatam aleihem. The light of Israel also will speak to different aspects of the rainbow of Israel, which is the light, which includes all of the different shades of the rainbow. Each nation identifies with one of the different shades, but all of them are included in Am Yisrael. If you remember when we spoke about Likuta Nitzotzot, the Kabbalistic idea of Kibbutz Galiot, of the Jews had to be, b'dieved, in every exile. Why? So that when we come back, the Yekes, the Jews who were in Germany, bring the orderliness of the Yekes. And the Jews who are in Morocco bring the emotion. And the Jews from every exile in exile, they bring the goodliness. And at that point, we won't need the different nations of the world anymore. Now, Rav Kook writes this in Sefer Orot. There's a piskan which we learned a couple years ago. I forgot to bring it. Did I bring it? No. That the world is going to be one family. The world is going to be one family. But even in a family, Rav Kook, and this is in Midbar Shor, where he elaborates on this on page Kuf Membet, even if the whole nations of the world are going to be speaking one language, and they're going to be one family, and even French and English will get along, etc., etc., and Americans will be marrying Russians, and Chinese will be marrying blacks, and everything, you still need Bni Bechori Yisrael. Because even in a family, you need a Bechor. Now, what is the job of a Bechor? It's very interesting in the... I'll just summarize Mamash in a nutshell, the article which I'm publishing now, that there's a professor, Frank Sulloway, who, it's a bestseller in America called Born to Rebel, where it's based on the psychologist Adler, who says that a person's place in the family has a strong influence on his personality. Right? And anyone who has children knows the firstborn personality, and then there's the youngest child personality, and there's the sandwich child personality, and obviously everyone has free will, and every family is a little different, but there is the diffus. The job of the Bechor, internationally, by the way, there's almost all the presidents of the United States were firstborn, were firstborn sons, and there's a disproportionate amount of Nobel Prize winners in firstborn. And the idea is that they're very responsible. They're loyal to the parents. They're Rosh Gadol, take a lot of initiative. They're willing to take chances, to be new ideas. leadership, morals. They tend to be more conservative, in other words, more religious, more family-oriented, old-fashioned type, dedicated to their parents, etc., etc. It's interesting. Neurotic. Firstborns tend to be neurotic, and we all know that the classic Jewish neurotic comedian, which you could say began with Groucho Marx or Woody Allen, right? You know that you all know what I'm talking about. You know the Jew Seinfeld, right? They're always, you know, like over worried over this, over that. You know, very intelligent, and really, if you think about it, it's ingenious because if we're the chosen nation, probably the biggest problem that a chosen nation who is so gifted and so more intelligent and so more Nobel Prizes than everyone else, inevitably, that's going to be a problem with arrogance, with ego. And that's why God built into this job of B'ni B'chori Yisrael, the firstborn, the Jews tend to be neurotic, right? That we're always second-guessing ourselves, we're always saying, it's our settlements which are the obstacle to peace. We're always at fault for everything. And obviously this is connected with 2,000 years of exile and always being told that we're garbage, and eventually we started believing it. But this is also part of the textbook personality of the Bechor. And if you think about it, it really does serve a purpose. Rav Kook goes on and he says, Shelot tomar she'emet ha-davar she'akadosh baruch hu bachar b'Yisrael mikol ha'amim v'natan lem yitaron u'ma'ala u'dveikut bo yitbarach al kol am v'lashon. Aval kol ze eino noheg ki'im kol zman shelo nitkan ha'olam b'malchuto yitbarach v'lo shavu kol ha'omot la'akir elo uto u'drachav. Aval achar kach, this is all the hav amina, we'll explain in a minute. כשיהפך אל העמים שפה ברורה לקרוא כולם בשם השם, אז, this the הווה מינה, לא יהיה יתרון לישראל על כל האומות. Will all be, when all the world is going to become enlightened and monotheistic and moral and intelligent, you might think there's not going to be any need any longer for the chosen people. כיוון שכולם יכירו וידעו כבוד שמו ויכירו כוח מלכותו. So why do we need the Jewish people? על זה הודיענו השם יתברך. That's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells us שאין הדבר כן. This is not true. כי אם בני בכורי ישראל, כמו שמעלת הבכורה אינה זזה מהבן הבכור. It's an issue d'oraita to take away the bechor from the eldest child and give him to another child. Even if you love him more, even if you think he's more suited, there's the Kedusha, the essential Kedusha, holiness, that the Bechor has. So too, the nation of Israel is Mamlechet Kohanim V'Goy Kadosh. They are the Bechor of mankind. And even in Yemot HaMashiach, there is going to be a special role. That even when, in a world of globalization, where the world is going to be one big happy family, and going to be speaking one language, the question is, what language is it going to be? And that's the job of the Bechor. And Chazal tell us the international language is going to be Hebrew. And the Goyim are going to come and do business with the land of Israel. They're going to be blown away with the beauty of Torah and with the morality of the Jewish people. And that's why, just like the land of Israel, it's interesting, even though mankind knows that the world is round, and in a round world, what is that stating? Ra'ayoni, philosophically, every place is equal, right? Go this way, go that way, every place is the same equidistance from the heaven. The Tanakh tells us, the Torah tells us, no, Eretz Yisrael is special. Because there needs to be a focal point where all the nations of the world are going to look. There needs to be a Beit HaMikdash, Ki Beiti Beit Tfila Yikarei L'chol Amim. There needs to be a Jerusalem. There needs to be one language. There needs to be one culture. A culture that encompasses all the cultures, right? That rainbow of cultures, but it has to be through the nation of Israel. And even though there's a lot more here, just I think that we covered the main ideas and we're running out of time. What Rav Kook is saying here, maybe we'll just do one last line at the bottom of the left-hand paragraph, where Beit Shammai talks about the Parei HaChag. Again, that the bulls go down 13, 12, 11. That represents the non-Jewish nations, the Gentiles of the world. What does this represent? The more light of Chanukah, the more light of Torah that shines in the world, even according to Beit Shammai, the need for the differences between Americans and Russians and blacks and whites and French and English, that differentiation is going to evaporate. The only nationalism which is going to be around is the nationalism of Israel. Why? Because it's a nationalism which doesn't lead to wars. As a matter of fact, it's a nationalism which calls for peace, which calls for brotherhood, and that the world learned from Israel's nationalism the call for unity, for world peace. And that's why we have to be around. The Israeli flag has to be around forever. There's a beautiful midrash which is saying exactly this. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says there are many flags in the world. Every nation has a flag, and I hate them, except for the flag of Jacob. The flag of Yaakov, the flag of Israel, is the only flag which HaKadosh Baruch Hu likes. Because nationalism, again, is problematic. It causes wars, friction, racism, hitnasut, how do you say, bigotry. On the other hand, there is a room and a time and a place for nationalism and patriotism, and that is in the nation of Israel. And just to remember, parenthetically, we learned a couple years ago that Rav Charlap talks about the Mimanei Yeshua, that's what the Milchama Gog u'Magog is going to be about. That the nations of the world are going to unite universally, and under the flag of universalism, they're going to point at the nation of Israel and say, you, of all people, you're the ones who always spoke about universalism and peace and love and brotherhood. You're not willing to speak our language. You're not willing to intermarry with us. Right? You say, and it's true, we want everyone to intermarry. We want blacks to marry whites. We want Muslims to marry Christians. That's good for world peace. But why you Jews, why aren't you willing to intermarry? And the nations of the world are going to rise up against the state of Israel and come out in war against nationalism, because the last nationalism that's going to exist in the world is the nationalism of Israel. And that's how Rav Charlap, Rav Kook's student, explains Milchama Gog u'Magog. In the end, Baruch Hashem, the world will understand that our nationalism is a nationalism of love, and that's the only nationalism which is going to be around.
Idealistic war. No?
Sorry?
Are we saying an idealistic war, not an actual physical war?
No, it's going to be a physical war.
Physical?
Yeah, that's what the Navi talks about. Zechariah, Yechezkel.